NPR's Frank Langfitt has been sending us a series of stories from one of the most dangerous places in the world, Somalia. Hundreds of people die there each week in fighting. The country is 2 decades into a civil war. Still, every morning, most Somalis wake up and try to live their lives. Frank Langfitt visited the capital, Mogadishu, and talked to residents about how they cope.
Abdi Fattah Ali Hassan sleeps in his shoes. Given his address, he has to. A high school economics teacher, Ali Hassan lives on the front lines here, which means mortars hit his neighborhood all the time.
We are ready to run. All our things are ready. I and my shoes, we are sleeping together.
After the first mortar hits, Ali Hassan races through the dark to the nearest shelter, a concrete house. Mortars aren't his only problem. Another is shakedowns. Mogadishu is mostly lawless. Over the last 4 months, Ali Hassan says clan militias in his neighborhood have robbed him of $700. That's more than half his annual salary as a teacher.
I hate being robbed, but we caused some of the problem ourselves. These militias are from the same clan we belong to, so it's a problem created by the community.
Somalia's weak transitional government provides almost no services. Fatima Abdi Ali has lived without running water for over 2 decades. She lights her apartment with kerosene lamps because she can't afford electricity. Ali relies on the $200 her son sends her each month from South Africa and a small profit she makes buying and reselling honey from a bee farm outside of town. But to get to the bee farm, she must take a minibus through a checkpoint controlled by Islamist rebels called Al-Shabaab.
It's not safe to go there, but I have no alternative. If I had another alternative, I would not do this job because it's dangerous. Sometimes they steal your money.
And she says, late one afternoon, they killed a fellow passenger.
They shot a man because he did not participate in afternoon prayers.
Somalia's government claims loose military control over more than half of Mogadishu. Al-Shabaab, which has pledged allegiance to Al-Qaeda, controls the rest. The group wants to destroy the U.S.-backed government here and set up a strict Islamic state. Some Somalis are fighting back. Abdullahi Hassan is a businessman who sells sugar, flour, and building materials. He helps finance a moderate Islamist militia that is battling Al-Shabaab.
Actually, they know me. I'm one of the targets.
Hassan travels around town with 6 or 7 armed guards.
Have they tried to kill you?
Many times. The last attack, they hit our car, but luckily I survived it. But another 3 has been killed.
How did they hit the car? What'd they do?
With the, this they call RPG-7.
That's a rocket-propelled grenade. Fartoon Abdusalan Adan lives near a trash-strewn roundabout. It's well inside the government lines, but she says nowhere is safe. A couple of weeks ago, a woman tossed a grenade in a market there, killing a handful of street kids.
Every morning is scary. You're thinking, okay, this today is we are survived. How about tomorrow?
Adam runs the Elman Peace and Human Rights Center. It's a non-governmental organization that, among other things, teaches teenage boys electrical and mechanical skills. Adam wants them to find jobs so they don't join militias or Al-Shabaab. Every morning, she must check to make sure boys from Al-Shabaab don't slip into her training sessions.
We wanted to help them, but at the same time, we are afraid.
Do you have to frisk the kids when they come in?
Yes.
Because you're afraid they might have a bomb?
Absolutely.
Adam returns home by 4 o'clock each afternoon for safety. She describes herself as middle class. Evenings are more worldly than you might expect.
We have electricity, we have a TV, we have internet. We have everything. You can watch everything. Channels in Mogadishu.
Tell me, in the last week, what did you see that would surprise me?
I watch Oprah.
As in Winfrey.
I watch the BBC News.
Adan buys her electricity and water from private companies. She bought a satellite dish for $150. Adan returned to Mogadishu a few years ago after living in Canada. As difficult as life is here, she has no plans to leave.
I want to stay as much as I can. We committed this work, we're doing it, and we wanted to make a difference.
There's a personal reason as well. Adan's husband ran a similar vocational program, but it tapped into the labor market for child soldiers. Warlords became angry, Adan says, and had him killed. Amid the ruin and violence of Mogadishu, she wants to finish what her late husband started. Frank Langfitt, NPR News.
This is All Things Considered.